Hi, friends. Welcome to Radiant Restoration Podcast. Will you renew your mind, body, and spirit, restore your faith, and reveal your true identity in Christ? I'm Robin Snow, daughter of the highest king, wife, and mom to two wild boys. I'm a work-from-home mom who has experienced the overwhelming goodness of restoration in my life, and I'm here to share it with you as we walk through motherhood together. Are you tired of just going through the motions of life, have no idea who you are beyond a mother, and lack any confidence in yourself anymore? Well, mama, go reheat that coffee and prepare to renew, restore, and reveal what transformations the King has in store for you as we discuss holistic health routines you can easily implement to renew your mind, body, and spirit, build your faith in God and His plan for you and your family, and find your identity in Christ and what He has called you to do for the kingdom. Ready for a whole new you through Christ? Let's dive in. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. So we are entering in to Holy Week, and I really had it laid on my heart to do this week's episode on just who Jesus is and why He was sent to earth for us in the first place. I wanted to start out by just kind of, you know, some of the names of Jesus. There are so many, but I wanted to just list out a quick list of the first ones that came to my mind. Christ the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the Word made man, Savior and Lord, King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Son of Man, and the list goes on and on and on. And so I thought it would be kind of cool to do this episode just around Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who was He? What was He sent for? As believers, of course, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He was sent in human form to save us, and that He is now at the right hand of God, awaiting the day that He returns. And but you know, I got to thinking, for people that don't know Jesus, maybe they have questions about what's the hype about this guy Jesus. I just wanted to take the time to kind of give some interesting facts, or the basic facts about who Jesus is. I did find it very cool that mention of the Messiah coming, obviously I knew it had been mentioned in the Old Testament that there was prophecy of His return, even throughout Old Testament, you know, it's been known that this Messiah would be coming to save God's people. And I found that even as early as Genesis is it mentioned, right after Adam and Eve have sinned and God is talking to the serpent, tells him, you know, because you have done this, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. And that was a prophecy of Jesus's return. And then it's mentioned again in chapter 49. He says, the specter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff for his descendants until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. So this is even more proof to me that God knows all. He is the all-knowing God, and He already knew the things that would take place. Therefore, He knew that man would fall to Satan, and therefore open our eyes to the good and evil. And when that took place, when that very first sin took place, the devil at that time took the keys to this world. We were exposed to evil at that point, and there was that disconnection from God, and he had the authority over the world. And we were all subject to death. And of course, the all-knowing God knew that this was going to take place and immediately had another plan in his timing, not ours, but he immediately had another plan of how he would save his people. And the Father sending his Son, sending Jesus, is literally, he does that to reconcile you to your original purpose, to bring us back to what we were meant to be, and that is to be in communion and to be one with our wonderful Holy Creator. And I find it super interesting that there are over 300 messianic prophecies made in the Old Testament that would later on be fulfilled through Jesus's life, death, or resurrection. And that just points even more to this has been part of God's plan this whole time. All throughout the Old Testament, it's mentioned that this Messiah is going to be coming. He's coming to save his people. And I think that the Jews, you know, obviously viewed what that warrior, what that conqueror would look like for them. But that doesn't make God's word and what he said he was sent and what he fulfilled any less real and any less true. He did send the ultimate conqueror, the ultimate overcomer, who would defeat death once and for all. So let's jump into some of the characteristics of Jesus. One of the very first things that stood out to me is the fact that in his 33 years on this earth, Jesus lived a sinless life. And because he didn't sin, God was able to accept him as his sacrifice. You know, Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Lamb of God. He was the spotless sacrifice, the Messiah from the Old Testament. Up until this point, people were having to sacrifice animals, lambs, oxen, rams, but they, you know, they had to be that perfect, spotless animal, that spotless sacrifice. And therefore, the sacrifice for us had to be spotless as well. And so Jesus had to walk a sinless life to remain perfect for that time of sacrifice. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but made alive by spirit. So in reality, for the ultimate life to begin, life within the spirit, he had to die. And, you know, we have to learn to die to ourselves and die to this world as well, to actually begin to live through the spirit within him. So the next thing that really set Jesus apart, especially in the last few years of his life, is the fact that he had the power to heal and forgive sins and to provide everlasting life for us. This is obviously something no one in that time had ever seen before, but it's something that is so much bigger than just reading what those people experienced. He still performs miracles every day. He still heals the broken. He's still the forgiver of sins. He's still the provider of everlasting life. John 6:40 tells us, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. And, you know, so ultimately he came to give to us that forgiveness, that he had the power to forgive sin, to overcome death, to provide you a life after this where it wasn't death being where you ended up. You know, he overcame death for us, and he came to bridge that gap, that disconnect for us with God, and to allow us to be one with the Father, which is ultimately what he has always desired, what he created man to be, is to be able to be one with him and to have that eternal life with him. And in Jesus's time on this earth, he constantly taught about being the one and the only way to God. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So, you know, once again, he was coming here to be that connection for us to be able to get to the Father. And he came here to live a life just like us in order to make that happen. And I like that he doesn't say that he's the destination. In that verse, he says, I am the way, not like I am the destination of where you're going, but he is the way to get there. And that's also kind of an indicator that, you know, our Christian walk is a journey. It is, it is a road that we will take to get there, but he says he is the way. He is the connection, the link to the Father. And we have to come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and to have that salvation, to have that connection with God. That is the only way, you know, that those are God's terms for his people. You can have this life everlasting and this life abundantly, but you will have to believe that Jesus is the Son of Man and that he was sent here for us and that, you know, his life, I think if anything in this podcast, I just want people to realize that what a beautiful life Jesus really did live here and what he went through. He went through all of the same things that we experience here on earth. And he came and he did that for us to save us. There was no other way. There was no other way for life after this had it not been for this man called Jesus who came and changed the world forever as we knew it. And the thing is that Jesus knew from day one what he was here for, what his purpose was. He even predicts his own death and resurrection, you know, to the 12 disciples. In Luke 18, 31 and 33, Jesus took the 12 aside and he told them, "We are going into Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." So, you know, he knew his purpose the entire time he was here. He was on a mission, and he had come to save God's people, to convert as many as he could. Because at that time, there was such a separation. It was just the Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews believed they were the only ones that had the connection to God. They were God's chosen people. And from the moment that Jesus starts going out and spreading the good news, he's telling them, this is not just for Jews. I have come to save the Gentiles too. I have come to save humanity. The creation of humanity, God created us all, and he wants to be one with us all one day as well. He even begins to speak about his return before he's ever even left, because that is, to me, that's just even more proof that he is God in human form, because he's even telling you, like, that's going to happen, but then this is also going to happen. You know, and he tells him in Matthew 24, 27 through 30, he says, "So as the lightning comes from the east to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. At that time, the signs of the sun will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." And he is talking about his return that we are now waiting for. But this is taking place when he is still on earth. This is taking place before he has even been crucified, before he's even been turned over. These are within the last few days, last few moments. But I mean, he is telling them, this is what's going to happen. And this is what you have to look forward to. This is what my death means. My death on this earth means for you. And later on in Matthew, in verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 18, he even leaves with us, you know, the Great Commission. And he says, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." So this is after he has defeated death. In those 3 days that he was in the grave, he went to hell. He got the keys to the kingdom, to death. He overcame death. And now he has risen, he has returned, and he is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth," because he overcame death. He conquered. He won on that day that he was rose again. And it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And so, you know, this is still just one more step of the plan. This is not the end. the death and resurrection and seeing Jesus ascend to heaven was not the end. There is still more to come. There was still more to be done. And he has still continued to be as vital of a part of our lives back then, 2,000 years ago, as he should be now. Because the time is coming that he is speaking of in this where he will be returning on the clouds. And, you know, the thing about him is that Jesus knew he was the Lamb of God, the spotless sacrifice. Like I said, he was the Messiah mentioned in the Old Testament. And he knew that he had to live a life without sin no matter what. But when he returns, he is coming to judge the sin of this world. And he will judge all on that day, except for the ones who have already acknowledged their conviction. They've already entered a plea of guilty. You know, we are guilty of all of the things that we are accused of, but we have a Savior, and we have sought his mercy by believing in Jesus Christ and accepting that we are not worthy to enter the kingdom, but we're accepting of the gift that he gives us to be able to live in the kingdom. And for that day of judgment that's coming, if for the people that have not accepted Christ in their heart and accepted them as his personal Savior, Jesus will judge them on that day. So in closing, I just wanted to kind of tie this all together, the significance of Christ's humanity. And the conclusion I came to was, you know, in these 33 years that Jesus spent on this earth, he experienced every trial, every tribulation, every temptation that you and I ever faced. He, one of the reasons coming here and coming in human form was that he experienced everything that we would experience. Therefore, he knew his children. He knew how to help his children. It even tells us, 1 Peter 2:21, it says, Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. So he came here willingly to go through these things so that when he left us and he left the Holy Spirit within us, it would be a guide and it would be a teacher and an example to help us overcome these things. And in 2 Peter 2:9, it says, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. He knows this because he was put through temptation. He spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And he teaches us there how to fight it with scripture. Every moment that Jesus was here on earth was for a purpose, 100%. And the reason that he chose to do it the way he did and to go through it the way that he did was so that on the other side of it, he could help his children or his brothers and sisters. You know, he could help us to walk through life in obedience to him. And I love in Hebrews 2:14-15, it says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who had lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So only by this perfect, spotless, sinless life that Jesus lived here as flesh and blood, could he become the ultimate sacrifice that would overcome death once and for all. The biggest thing I wish that people could understand is that the victory was won that day. That day is when death was no more. And everything that the devil has done since then, all the scheming, is on borrowed time. It is him, the delusion of him trying to make you think that Jesus is not the ultimate overcomer, that God is not who he says he is. But there will be a day, just like every other thing that has ever been prophesied over Jesus's life within this book, it will come true. And that's why I just want to be able to spread the gospel to as many people, to help people to see Jesus as their savior, not as someone coming to judge them or to condemn them, or to convict them of things. That he is the savior. He came for all of us, taking on all of our sins, knowing exactly what those sins were. He stayed nailed to that cross. Look here. If Jesus is powerful enough to do all of these things, there is no way that man could have kept the Son of God on a cross if he didn't want to be there, if he didn't willingly submit to being the sacrifice, making the decision to do that, loving you enough to do that. One of the biggest things I was thinking about was like the crucifixion, and because a lot of the Old Testament prophecy that you see is, it goes into detail of how Jesus will be killed. And that was like one of the biggest things to me, because yes, crucifixion was a thing back then. People, you know, that was one of the forms of punishment, but what Jesus experienced that day was a whole other level. That is not even how they normally would treat people. The beating, the lashing, the mockery, the crown of thorns, all of these things were not the normal. They were trying to really, really make a point about this man. But boy, I just can imagine how some people felt in that day and time, in that moment when they realized just who he was hanging on that cross. And like I said, that just, I wanted to dive into this a little bit. I hope I did you guys justice and telling you more about Jesus and who he is and what he was sent for. I just really want to take the time to just honor him in this week and in my life in general. But I've just looked at Holy Week so much differently this time around, because I just want with every breath in me to just give him the glory and the honor and the thank you that he deserves for what he endured that day and what he chose to take on. Sins that he did not deserve. He had walked a perfect, spotless life, and on that day took on the sins of the world. Every single thing that every person had done, would do, all of it was on his shoulders that day as the ultimate sacrifice for us. And I just pray that we give him the glory and honor that he deserves for that every single day of our lives, not just during Easter and during this time. So guys, if we could, I would love to close this up in prayer, and hopefully we'll just get this week started in the best way that we can. Father God, we come to you and we thank you in this time. We thank you that you did not want to be separated from us. You did not want us to have to live in a world that death was the way it ended, Lord, that you wanted your children to be one with you. We thank you for the sacrifice of sending your only son here to go through things that we just could not even imagine. What he went through in those last few days on this earth, Lord. But we are just so thankful that you did send him, that you overcame death that day, that you broke the barrier between all of your people, and you wanted that connection with us, Lord. And we just pray that we continue to pursue that every day, that we grow in our relationship with you. We grow in our relationship with Jesus, Lord. We help other people to see Jesus. And it is my desire in my heart that I will go out every single day to be more like Jesus, to love people like Jesus did, to help people like Jesus did, to accept people like Jesus did, to help transform people like Jesus did. Lord, we are praying you tell us that you have left us with the authority to do greater things than you did on this earth, Lord. And I pray that we will go out and we will do that, that we will spread the gospel, that we will tell the world about your goodness, Lord, and and help others to prepare for the day of your return. We are longing for that day when we see you riding on those clouds, Lord, coming for your people, just as you promised. You've never made a promise that you did not fulfill. And we know that these promises will one day come true, Lord. And we long for that day to be in your presence. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. And it is in your holy and wonderful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
So be sure to go give me a follow on Facebook and Instagram. You can find the information in the show notes. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. God bless.